The movie for tonight that we're going to talk about is the movie Night at the Museum. Night at the Museum. Now, I actually hadn't seen this, and I watched it so I could learn about it, and I actually think it's a really good movie. How many of you, just show of hands, you've seen that so already? Cool. Well, that's what we're going to watch tonight. That's what we're going to learn from. And there's a couple things that I think is important to learn from this movie. Now, you guys, those of you who have seen it, you know this, but those of you who haven't seen it, it's the short of it is the main character is a guy named Larry. And Larry is basically, his life is kind of falling apart. And he's got a son who, like, doesn't believe in him. And his son kind of just thinks his dad's kind of a loser kind of deal. And part of it's because he can't get a job. And when he gets a job, he can't keep a job, right? And so he's kind of just really struggling. Ben Stiller plays Larry in the movie, and he happens to be one of my favorite actors. But he kind of has this belief that, like, the perfect job is just going to kind of come to him. You know, it's just going to happen, and it's going to work out great, and there's nothing that, you know, he has to do. He doesn't have to actually, like, go out and get the job, right? And then he realizes, okay, maybe I do need to make an effort to go and get a job and that kind of thing. And so what happens is he applies for a job at the National Museum of History in New York City, right? And literally on his first night of work, something happens that ultimately changes the game for him, changes his life. And I actually want you guys to see this, so check out this clip. Yeah, that's crazy. So literally, a T-Rex comes to life inside this National Museum of History, right? And so how crazy would that be, right, if that were really something that could actually happen? But I was thinking, like, how many of you guys have a pet of some kind? Just a showing of hands. Okay, so I happen to be a big dog person, right? I love dogs, right? But how many of you have wondered, I mean, that's crazy, right? For literally a T-Rex to come to life, and later on in the movie, he wants to, like, play fetch with Ben Stiller. It's hilarious, right? But that's a crazy thing. Now, but sometimes, I know for me, I don't know about you guys, maybe you'd agree, maybe you disagree, but do you ever just wonder what your dog or your cat or hamster or whatever you have, do you ever just wonder what they're thinking? You ever just wonder, like, if they could talk right now, what would they say to you? You know, like, what would they want to talk about? What would they, I don't know, maybe that makes me weird. Maybe it makes me a little crazy, but that would be crazy, though, if your dog could actually have a conversation with you, right? That would be a little strange, a little weird. It would probably freak you out, right? Much like Ben Stiller, was freaked out in this movie. And when I first saw this movie, which was yesterday, it immediately made me think of a story in the Bible. Now, a lot of times you look at the Bible and you think, man, this thing is just this ancient, old, like, book that I can't understand. But you know, there's actually some really interesting stories and interesting things that occurred or happened in the scripture, in the Bible. And tonight, I want to talk to you about a vision that God gave to a man, a prophet named Ezekiel. Now, if you know this, great. If you don't, most of you are probably a little unfamiliar. I want to invite you to turn your Bibles, which will be underneath you or in front of you. I want to invite you to turn with me to page number 865. Page number 865. And I want to read this story to you guys, and then I just want to kind of spend a few minutes, and I want to talk about it. So beginning in chapter number 37 of Ezekiel, page 865, I want you to read this with me, not out loud, of course, but get your eyes on the text. Get your eyes on the text. This is powerful. This is what it says. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Verse 3, he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them like skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, this story is obviously pretty crazy. Let's think about what's happening. Ezekiel is a prophet, right? And what a prophet was is a prophet is a man who would hear from the Lord, and then he would go to the people and speak the words that the Lord would speak to him. And so what is happening is Ezekiel is having this dream. How many of you guys can remember your dreams when you have them? See, I am a terrible dream rememberer, right? But Ezekiel is having this dream, and God literally gives him a vision. And in the vision, he shows them this valley of nothing but dry, dead bones. They're just in this field, and there's nothing happening, right? And during the vision, as he's watching this happen, the Son of Man, God comes to Ezekiel and he says, "I want you to begin prophesying over these bones. I want you to begin telling them to come together like a vast army." And so they do. The bones come together, right? Like tendons come on them, skin comes on them. I mean, is this kind of crazy or what? This is a crazy story, but in the vision, this is what Ezekiel sees happening. And then he says, "Well, wait a second, there's no breath." So it's like these bodies, but they're dead. They're not breathing. They're not talking. They're not walking. They're just laying there. Now they're not just bones, but they're bodies. And then God says, "Well, breathe into them," or tell them that the Lord is going to breathe into them. And so what happens is obviously this miracle takes place in this vision that Ezekiel has over these men, over these people. Now, that would be crazy if you literally were in a graveyard or a gravesite and, like, people just started coming up out of the ground, right? That would be insane and scary, but kind of cool. And that doesn't even equal what was happening in this vision that God had given to Ezekiel. But this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. I know this is a term and a word that's used loosely a lot, but I want to talk to you about the word miracle. Now, how many of you guys have ever used that term before? You've ever said, "Man, oh, that was a miracle," or "I just saw this miracle happen," right? And a lot of times we throw it around. We even see it in the store. Like, have you guys ever had Miracle Whip, which is the nastiest thing I think I've ever tasted in my entire life, right? Or like the Chia Pet, the Miracle Grow. You know, you guys have seen that for your grass. Doesn't work. But we throw this word around a lot, but literally Scripture is full, it's chock full of things that happen that I would say are miracles. Now, obviously, this was a vision. It wasn't something that actually took place, but in Ezekiel's mind and in his heart and in the vision, in the story, something would happen that would change things. And so I want to give you a quick definition. If we're talking about what an actual miracle is, It's when the supernatural invades the natural. Very simply put, it's when the supernatural invades the natural. In other words, when God himself intervenes and invades and does something that no one else could possibly do. I remember when I was about 10 years old, I have two older brothers. My oldest brother is about 7 years older than me, so he was 17. One night, he was coming home from his girlfriend's house. It was late at night, and he was going around this curb, right? And you guys know what I'm going to say. He was driving way too fast, trying to, like, get home to beat curfew, you know, and that kind of thing. And as he was going around this curve, right, he lost complete control of his car, and he ended up bashing into this telephone pole. Now, what's crazy about this story is that I wish I could show you pictures of what the results were. Literally, my brother's car was torn in half, like severed, okay? The only way to explain it is literally God intervened, because my brother walked away from this car wreck, right, having only a few scratches, and the car was literally severed in half. Unbelievable, right? It was a miracle. It was something that God intervened. The only way that that could have happened is if God showed up and did something huge and something big. Now, what's important to understand is that in this story, Ezekiel, being a prophet, is being given words to tell to these bones, to prophesy over the bones, to speak to the bones, if you will. And literally, they start coming together. Like a femur bone connects to, you know, a tibula or whatever it is. I don't know my bones, okay? Or, you know, an elbow connects with the shoulder. I mean, all of these bones are literally, he's watching them come together to form an actual skeleton. And not only does that happen, but skeletons begin to form, right? Which is all bones. But then, as he's still prophesying, speaking over the bones in this dream, in this vision, he watches tendons, literally tendons, begin to form around the skeleton, and then skin begins to form around the tendons. And so what you have is these people. And literally, in the vision, they're not breathing. And so he begins to speak words over them, right? Prophesy to the breath, prophesy and say to it, come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So he begins to prophesy and say these things. And then in verse 10, breath entered them and they came to life and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now I want you to see a visual of this. This is crazy. This is a miracle. This is something that's happening in a vision. It's important to understand this did not actually happen. It's a vision that God is giving to Ezekiel about the people of Israel, right? But I want you to see what this might have looked like. So this is a little weird, but check it out. That's a picture of what it could have looked like in his vision, in his dream. What was happening, though, in this Bible story, in this time, is that all of this was describing God's relationship with the Israelites. It was symbolizing the way that their relationship had gotten. Their relationship, see, the Israelites were God's chosen people. And what had happened is they decided that they were no longer going to listen to God. They were going to kind of do their own thing. They were going to kind of go their own direction, go their own way, if you will. And so they got to this point where literally their relationship with God, in essence, was dead. It had no longer existed. And it had no longer existed because of their disobedience and because of the sin that was in their life. But see, what happens is God brings Ezekiel to see in this vision of dry bones that ultimately God would restore their relationship. What you just saw is symbolic of how God would restore relationship with the Israelites. Even though they had gone their own way, even though they had turned their back on God, even though they had chosen to be disobedient, He would love them so much that He would restore everything back to health. Now, what's interesting is it's crazy to think that a vision like that happened and that He saw it all in that way. But what I want to do is I want to challenge us to think about something tonight. This actually is our story as well. This is exactly our story as well. Spiritually speaking, the reality, students, is that we are born spiritually dead because of sin, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? And there's nothing we can do about it. We can't change it, but we're born spiritually dead, spiritually apart from God because of sin in our life, because of things that we do when we miss the mark or things that we do when God wouldn't like that, right? And so what happens is God created and made the most incredible miracle of all when He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come on this earth, and He lived a perfect, sinless life. You can read story after story of how Jesus would reach out to the I would say the marginalized, the people that were on the outside, the people who were maybe they were drunkards, or maybe they were prostitutes, or maybe they were, you read the story of Zacchaeus and how he was a tax collector. And so these were people who were despised, man, people who were literally hated. And Jesus would spend a lot of His time with them. He'd spend a lot of His time loving on them. And what happened is that Jesus, even living a perfect, sinless life on this earth, went and died on the cross for your sin and for mine. The Bible talks about how He was nailed to a cross with nails that were pierced into His hands and into His feet. He had had to wear a crown of thorns. He was beaten for us. And why did He go through that? He went through that so that our relationship with God could be restored. So that we didn't have to be just these dead, walking, spiritual bodies, but we could actually be alive and have relationship with God and have our relationship with God strong and vibrant and growing and restored. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. That's what He did. He sent Jesus. Yet the miracle wasn't that Jesus died on the cross. Because to be honest with you, a lot of crucifixion was just kind of, that was the Roman way of killing people. So there were a lot of people, actually, when Jesus was on the cross, there was a guy to His right and a guy to His left. The miracle wasn't that He died on the cross. The miracle was that 3 days after dying on the cross, He rose again. And so His death and His burial and His resurrection change everything. For you and everything for me. And the truth is, just like the video you saw, just like the reality is that we are all spiritually dead until we say yes to Jesus. Until we allow the love and the grace and the invitation of Jesus Christ to be a part of our life. And so much like the movie, which you'll find, Larry's life completely changed when he got that job because he's watching these animals come to life and these army rangers come to life. And my favorite character is this little monkey called Dexter come to life. Well, he's already alive. But the point is that his life was completely changed just by this job. He didn't know. He was actually kind of down about getting the job because it was the night shift. He was the only one, you know, working. And his life was changed. And I want to suggest to us all tonight that honestly, life change in and of itself is a miracle. To me, it is a miracle the fact that Jesus Christ, yes, would die on the cross for our sins, but that he would give us the opportunity to say yes to him and ultimately for our life to change forever. Some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been in this room yourself and you have made a decision at one time or another where you've said yes to Jesus and your life has never been the same. It doesn't mean that your life's great all the time. It doesn't mean that it's perfect. It doesn't mean that nothing challenging takes place, but it does mean that you have said yes to Christ and you've sealed your relationship with him. That you're no longer this body of dead bones, if you will, but you're alive and Christ lives in you and he lives through you. And so the challenge tonight, the Bible says it like this in 1 Corinthians. It says, therefore, he who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have gone, the new things have come. And what I want to give you guys the opportunity to do tonight is to become new. Because the reality is, some of you walked into this room tonight, and if you're honest with yourself, spiritually speaking, you're dead inside. Because you've never sealed your relationship with God. You've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you come to church and you enjoy being at church. You enjoy hanging out with your friends. But you kind of just come each week and it impacts you. But you've never just said yes. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never said, Jesus, I really want you to change me. I want to follow you. I want to call you Lord, and I want to call you Savior. You see, just like the story that we read tonight, as Ezekiel in the vision prophesied to these bones, breath entered them, and they began to breathe, and they became a vast army. You know, that's exactly what happens when one person just says yes to Jesus. What happens is that they go from being dead inside because of sin to being alive in Christ and free. Jesus frees them from their sin. The Bible says, I love it. It says, if you confess your sin before God, he is faithful to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible also says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So students, this is how I want to end tonight. If you're here tonight and you would say, you know what? I am a Christ follower. I walk with Jesus. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I am a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do over the next few minutes is I just want you to bow your heads and I want you to thank God that he has saved you. I want you to rejoice in the fact that you were once dead and now you are alive because of what Jesus Christ did in your life. Because he came on the earth and died for your sin, a painful death on the cross. But there's also those of you here tonight who would say, you know, Pastor Stephen, I've never said yes to Jesus. And I want to do that tonight. Much like the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, or if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so this is what I want to do for those of you tonight that would say, you know, I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never accepted him into my life, and I really want to do that tonight. I want to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my heart, of my life, of my mind, my soul. You've never done that. This is my invitation. Just like the scripture says, I want to pray a prayer over you, and this is what I want you to do from wherever you're seated, in your mind and your heart. I just want you to pray these words after me, not out loud, but just right where you're at. And what this prayer is about is exactly what the scripture says in Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And the reality is if you've never prayed that prayer and you choose to do that tonight, you get to leave here being alive, spiritually alive. And so if that's you, just pray this right after me, wherever you're seated. Just say, Jesus, I love you. I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And so tonight, I invite you to come into my life. I invite you to make me alive. So I commit my life to you. Thank you for saving me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, students, some of you, you may have just prayed that prayer with me, which means that you made the best decision of your life. And you know, what happens is the Bible says in heaven that all of heaven will rejoice when just one person says yes to Jesus. When just one person prays to receive Christ and say, man, I want to know him. I want to invite him into my life. If just one person does that, all of heaven throws a big party. All of heaven rejoices and gets excited. And so tonight, I want to invite those of you, I know this is a bold step, but if you're here tonight and you say, man, I prayed that prayer, I meant those words, I want Jesus in my life, right? I want to invite you wherever you're at just to stand, right, wherever you're at. We want to rejoice with you guys. We want to celebrate with you guys if you prayed that prayer. Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Great. That's so cool. Amen. Now, stay standing if you will. If you don't mind, stay standing. I would appreciate it. Now, those of you that are standing, I want to dismiss you towards the back of the room. We've got a couple leaders that are back there. We want to talk to you for a few minutes. We've got something we want to give to you, and we want to rejoice with you. So give it up for these. That's great. Throwing a party in heaven. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Now, for the rest of you, maybe tonight, you know what? You've never heard a story like that. And that's a powerful story. It's a powerful vision. So I thought the way that we would end tonight is our band's going to come back up. They're going to play a song over us tonight called Cornerstone. And this is what I want to invite you to do. What I want to invite you to do is right where you're at tonight, I want to invite you to just speak to God for a few minutes. Again, man, most of you probably, I would say, you follow Christ, which is amazing that you have made the decision to follow Christ and say yes to Jesus. And so I want you to focus on what Jesus has done for you. Maybe that means that you sing as loud as you can. Maybe that means you come to the front. Maybe that means you just, we've got leaders that are standing around the room. They'd love to pray for you. If you just want somebody to pray for you or pray with you, maybe you've got some things going on in your life. And so we just want to give you a chance to respond to what God is doing in your heart tonight, what God is saying to you tonight through the story, through what you just saw, these that stood and said yes to Christ. So I want to invite you to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want to invite you to stand with me right where you're at, and let's pray together. God, you're good. We love you. Thank you for the power that comes in your word. We thank you for a story and a vision that you gave to Ezekiel, but it would mean so much to us as well. God, that literally without Jesus Christ, we would be spiritually dead and hopeless. But because of what Jesus did, because of his sacrifice on the cross, we are the sons and daughters of God. That's an amazing thing. And so, Father, as we go into a time where we respond to you, I pray that you would help us to focus on who you are tonight. In Jesus' name.